Catholic vitamins. Vitamin I. Vitamin I Extra.
Oh, extra.
Yeah. Episode 125.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
It's a little early for us. Usually we're working on Sundays after Masses and other obligations, but here we are on Saturday, and you called this Vitamin I Extra. What's that about?
Well, we had a little problem.
No, not a problem, a challenge.
Okay, a delay. We weren't able to connect with our interview subject for vitamin J.
Right.
So rather than just skip a week, we thought we would just come in and do a little extra. We've done that a time or two before.
We have, Dee, and we have, let's see, we have a little mini interview with Teresa Doyle Nelson, soon to be departing Catholic Vitamins.
Our exit interview. I don't like that.
No, but she's still going to do another vitamin for us in a short while. And we have a wonderful mini interview with Patrick Coffin from Catholic Answers.
Oh, you got that when you were down at the men's conference last weekend, right?
I did. And it was in person and up close. And I enjoyed talking with him. Now, we got interrupted at the end of the interview. We were in the green room, and it was just Patrick and I, and it was quiet. And all of a sudden, a whole group of men came in. They didn't see my microphone down on the couch between us, and so they were just talking, and I just had to stop the interview. But we got in a good 10 minutes or so, and so I'll remind people why it sort of ends abruptly, but had some fun with him. I also have a Franciscan speaker segment that I think kind of touches on the thought that we left off on the last show about imminence, about God being with us in all times, even the times in our lives when we don't feel that we're doing the right thing in our lives. And I'm looking forward to bringing that along. And then we're going to say something towards the end about an upcoming extra show about the new movie that's coming out in March.
March 23rd, I think.
Yes, you're right.
Debuts.
Yeah. It what?
Debuts.
Did you say day butts?
Oh, no, I didn't say butts. I said buttes.
Oh, buttes. Gosh. People say that they like listening to us because it sounds like we're pretty natural.
We definitely are.
Gosh. Debuts. All right. The movie is called October Baby. And the subtitle is, or the theme for the movie is, Every Life is Beautiful. We're very pro-life in our family, and we're a part of pro-life in our parish. And we've had some pro-life people on the show. And when we found out about the movie October Baby coming out, we're making outreach. We're going to try to have an interview soon with somebody from the movie.
I just watched one of the trailers. You said there was more than one trailer. I didn't know that. Yeah. I watched one a little while ago. I'm going to have to go find the other ones.
When we have the extra show on the topic of October Baby, or which features October Baby, we'll play a good trailer segment, 3 or 4 minute trailer segment. So we didn't say who we are.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yes.
I don't think we did.
You said, hello, Dee.
Oh, you're Dee. I'm Deacon Tom. And this is Catholic Vitamin.
Short-term memory is really showing.
What short-term memory? This is Catholic Vitamin I Extra, and we're glad you're with us.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do.
On the phone with us, all the way from Texas, is our dear friend Teresa Doyle Nelson, a one-year veteran of Catholic Vitamins. Hi, Teresa.
Hey, Deacon Tom. How are you?
Very well, very well. What's your weather like in Texas today as we do our recording?
Well, actually today we're expected to get temperatures up in the 80s. However, tonight it's supposed to freeze. So
We have
a wide range.
Yeah. Well, Teresa, you have let us know that you're going to be moving on to some other pursuits, and I made outreach to you to say that I wanted to spend a little bit of time on the phone to tell you how deeply appreciative we are and have been of your year of service to the listeners of Catholic Vitamins, and just tell you what a joy it's been to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It has been a true blessing to me, Deacon Tom. It's taught me a lot about the new media and new ways to reach out, and it's just given me a little experience in some public speaking, which, as we've discussed before, is not my strength in life, but I have enjoyed it. I have really enjoyed it, so thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. We're going to miss your segments on the Saints, but who knows what's going to be happening. We'll get into that in just a second. How are things for you and your husband and family? And I heard something about an upcoming marriage. What's going on there?
That's right. Yeah, we're busy. My oldest son is getting married in June, and it is approaching really fast. And so that's very exciting. And other than that, my second son, he has moved to Virginia, but he'll be home for the wedding. He's going to be the best man, but he's a youth minister up in the D.C. area. And the youngest son is a freshman in high school. So between the wedding and running off to track meets, and we're flying out to D.C. next week, the Nelsons are keeping busy.
I guess so. I told you in an email that I sent to you that I thought you were too young to be a mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's sweet. Thank you.
Well, any interesting projects that you have either on the horizon or something you're working on now?
Well, yeah, I've got a couple things going that I'm really excited about. If any of the listeners out there subscribe to LaGuardian, I do have an article coming out. I'm pretty sure it'll be in the October issue of LaGuardian, and it's about Léonie, who is a sister of St. Thérèse. She was the one who barely gets mentioned. If you read stuff about St. Thérèse, St. Teresa, the little flower, whatever title you like for her, only five sisters survived to adulthood, and there's one who rarely ever gets mentioned, Léonie. She was a middle child, and a little bit, she had some struggles in life, and I just felt very compelled to dig a little bit about her and learn more about her, and I loved her story and wrote it, and LaGuardian is going to print it this fall.
Awesome. Then,
yes, and then another article that I'm excited about, it'll be in St. Anthony Messenger sometime. I didn't think to ask them what month or what issue will this be in, but it has been accepted for publication. It's called On a More Personal Note, and it's about Paul's letters to Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Most of Paul's letters were longer and sent to large groups of people, you know, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Romans. But there were four letters, two to St. Timothy, one to St. Titus, and one to St. Philemon. And they kind of highlight a different personality in Paul, shows his personal side a little bit more. And a lot of Catholics that we think, there's a misconception out there that we think we hear the whole Bible if we go to Mass every day for 3 years, but actually there are chunks that are missing, and if we only go on Sundays, we really only get, I don't know, maybe about 20% of each of these four personal letters that Paul wrote. So that article will be in St. Anthony Messenger at some point, I'm going to guess within the next six, maybe 7 months, but I don't know for sure. And St. Anthony Messenger also asked me to write an article about Louis Martin, the father of St. Thérèse, who struggled with mental illness in the last years of his life. And so anyways, I'm doing some tweaks and revisions on that. And if they like that, then they'll print that also. So those are some, you know, sort of imminent things coming up. So other than that, I, you know, still get things to CatholicExchange.com now and then, or a diocesan newspaper, or there's another online magazine that I'm starting to write again for. I signed a contract with them, gosh, a little over a year ago, and it's just been a really busy year, but I'm kind of getting back. Sweet101.com has a very good Catholicism section, so I'll be doing more writing for them here soon also.
It's just so awesome to hear that people recognize your writing talent and that you're getting some assignments. Just as a sidebar, any books in your mind or in your thinking?
Well, not real actively. I actually have a book sitting in my computer, and I need to get going on that again and sending proposals out. I wrote a book not too long ago about the Sistine Chapel, and most books out there about the Sistine Chapel talk about, you'll get more of a lesson on art history, the artists, when the different paintings were painted, the style, and just maybe tiny snippets of, oh yeah, and that's about David and Goliath. My book is the opposite. I give more detail about each painting in the Sistine Chapel, not just the ceiling, but the paintings on the walls also, and where you can find them in the Bible, or more about them in church history. Like, there's a whole bunch of them of the several different popes, who they were, what historians have told us about them, and it was just a tiny little bit of information about who the artist was and what year it was painted. So I kind of did the opposite of what the average book on the Sistine Chapel is out there. I like the, you know, a lot of those artists, really their main goal was to glorify God, and now their artwork is more glorifying art and art techniques and art styles, and I just wanted the God thing to get in there a little bit deeper. But it would be a book that would require a lot of colored pictures, because you just have to have the pictures in the Sistine, from the Sistine Chapel, to go with the words. And it's just a very, very expensive process to put that in print, unless you go overseas. So anyways, I'm still praying about that book. We'll see. But for a time here, I'm going to just take a break and just do a little bit of article writing. And I need to step back just a little bit in life.
Okay. Well, Teresa Doyle Nelson, we have been blessed, really, really blessed to have you as a contributor for a year on Catholic Vitamins. We thank you. And I promise that we will remember you in our prayers. And I hope you'll check in with us once in a while. Let us know what's going on.
Okay, Deacon Tom, I will. And just thank you so much for the privilege. Working with you and Dee was truly a blessing.
All right. Thank you, Teresa.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
What a blessing Teresa has been on the show. Thank you, Teresa, for coming on for a few moments and sharing a little bit about all the things that you're involved in. So glad to hear that other publications are getting a chance to publish some of your writing and work.
I always like hearing that good things are happening to people, but I'm sad that she's not going to be with us on a regular basis.
I know. I have a note here in front of me. This is a handwritten note, unusual in this day and age. Hi, Deacon Tom. I just wanted to let you know that I received the sacrifice beads. Thank you so much. I've been using them, and they have evolved into a different form of prayer than I intended. At the end of the day, I use them to count out 10 blessings that I have been given that day. Then I give thanks to our Lord. This has been an enormous help to fight the winter dryness for me, which is what that was all about. I did an article at CatholicMom.com, and it was entitled Winter Dryness, and the lady writing, Diane Reber, I think is how you pronounce her name, Diane said that this little approach to giving thanks has helped her in her winter dryness. Thanks for all you do. God's blessing on your day. Signed, Diane. Bless you, dear heart.
We have another piece of feedback from Tim, in Erie. We actually played an audio message from him last podcast.
Right.
He said, Deacon Tom, thanks for getting back to me. Yes, I heard you replay my message on the podcast. How fun. Isn't it amazing how the Lord is using us to spread his message? Who would have dreamed? I'm an old guy. This would be possible. You, Dee, and Bob Derulio have touched more people than you'll ever know. Your message has touched me to my core. It has emboldened me to speak up for our great Lord and his holy church. How blessed we are to be so entwined through the electronic media. Amazing. God bless you and your lovely wife. I feel I know you both, and yet we have never met. Please pray for me, and I'll pray for you as well. Tim. That was nice.
Very nice. Tim, we ask the Lord right now in our thoughts and in our hearts to bless you and yours, and thank you for your outreach. Your being touched touches us and any who hear these words, so it's just great. Well, there is a man of words, a man whom I listen to pretty regularly through my podcast subscription, and that is Patrick Coffin. Patrick Coffin is from Catholic Answers, and he's heard around the world, EWTN, Ave Maria Radio, and any place that has satellite where they pick up Catholic Answers every day. And I was blessed last weekend to be at a Catholic conference where Patrick was the speaker, first speaker, the kickoff speaker, and he was gracious enough to give me 10 or 15 minutes after his talk. I had to wait quietly off to the side, just a few feet from him, as the bishop wanted to give him, Bishop Thomas Olmsted, wanted to give him congratulations for his talk and to thank him for coming to speak to the men of Phoenix and our area as well.
Well, as you should be in line behind the bishop.
Absolutely. Yes. I shouldn't even be close probably to the two of them, but I was. And then Patrick and I went to the green room. So here is our interview, and I just want you to know that we got interrupted at the end. You'll hear the commotion getting started, and I just had to stop the recording, and we'll be back. We're really blessed on Catholic Vitamins to be rejoined by a favorite, someone we know from Catholic Answers every day, and I'm a subscriber to the podcast that he helps to create, and which Catholic Answers creates. And he's also been a guest on Catholic Vitamins. I'm talking about the inimitable Patrick Coffin. Hi, Patrick. Yay, listen to that crowd.
It's the throng. They follow me. I can't get them away from me. Great. Thanks for the invite, Deacon Tom.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Well, you and I are down in what they call the green room. We've just finished listening to, what was it, about 45 minutes or an hour talk that you did. You had some of us taking notes feverishly. There were times I got verklempt. But before we say a few words about the theme of your talk here at the Catholic Men's Conference in Phoenix, let's just refresh or tell anew the story of Patrick Coffin. What are you doing for work these days?
Well, I schlep into a studio and they give me access to the microphone. I'm not sure why. I really am blessed to have a pinch-me job, Deacon Tom. I get a front row seat 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, at what the Holy Spirit does with a conversation that often the caller who places the phone call to the show, they have no idea, A, that there's an answer to the question they're asking, and B, that they're going to have it answered in a charitable, often humorous way. And the apostle of Catholic Answers is part of the reason why I came back to the practice of my faith as a kid. I came across a magazine, even before it was called This Rock Magazine. It was basically a newsletter Carl had put out, Carl Keating, our founder. And when I discovered that there was such a thing as apologetics, that there was a systematic way that was relatively easy to approach and incorporate, well, that changed my life. I mean, that just set me on a track that I, by God's grace, I've never left. The idea that all my confusion had a light to it, that my journey was part of God's providence, that it was okay to question because there were answers to my questions. And ultimately, it gave my mind, because I was a very, I'm a thinker by nature. Even since I was a kid, my mother said that I didn't do much baby talk. I went from being quiet or crying to talking full sentences. So I love ideas, I love history, and I'm a voracious reader. But that has a double-edged sword to it. I became very influenced in my undergrad years by atheistic writers like Feuerbach, who said that if man were a cow, God would have horns. And so this began to kind of chip away at the foundations of my Catholic faith. And after 4 years of this, I was effectively an agnostic. I could no longer really affirm the divinity of Christ. So the discovery of apologetics as a science and an art was life-changing. And it's I praise God for the work that Catholic Answers do. And I my wife teases me because I'll drive to work and I'll say, they're actually letting me host the show again today. I get to hear it again. I hear that aha moment where someone is, you can almost hear their mental cogs turning as they have that I get it moment. So it's a blast. And, well, hey, San Diego life is pretty good.
Absolutely. And you prove what I've seen many times in my own ministry, reverts or converts to the faith bring such vitality, and it's just great to listen to you every day. You also get to meet and talk with a lot of people, many of them in person, in the studio. You want to just name a couple names, be a name dropper.
Elvis, by channeling, I mean.
Yes.
No. I have an allergy to the celebrity thing, Deacon Tom. When people say, oh, we have a celebrity, I always cringe because I think the celebrity culture that has crept into the church is lethal to the person in question. And there's a short list of people who became famous and began to, I guess, believe their own press clippings. But for people who are well known, I was very happy to meet Philip Rivers, the quarterback from the San Diego Chargers. Mike Sweeney has become a friend, all-star baseball player. Actor Kevin James came by the other day, comedian, actor, great guy. Tom Wilson is a good friend of mine. He played Biff in the Back to the Future movies. But the people who really impressed me are not necessarily just the name recognition people, but people who have a story that when I hear it, I get God bumps. Thinking of a guy named Clint Council. Clint's coming to mind for now. He's not even Catholic. He's a Southern Baptist. And his wife, Jessica, is what I call the Protestant St. Gianna Beretta Mola. She was a beautiful, vivacious mother of two and had stage 4 cancer diagnosed the same week that she found out she was pregnant. And she declined all, chemo-based treatments. And as a result, she gave birth to her daughter very, very early. And she got that little girl, whose name's also Jessica, to the finish line and died within hours. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that really moves me. And to talk to her widower and just to hear how much he loved her and how much I learned from stories like that, that's the thing that I find really satisfying. Mm-hmm. There's also a growing number, if I may, Tom, a growing number of Planned Parenthood employees who are having conversions. Abby Johnson, Linda Curry, Catherine Adair, there's a long list of them. And these are people who worked deep inside the Planned Parenthood machine, who know all about the power of their lies and their propagandizing and so on. So to speak to them and hear their story, many of them also survivors of abortion. Mm-hmm. Just talk about the mercy of Christ and how the people who are in the abortion industry are not, they don't wake up as demons one morning and say, let's see how many babies we can kill. They really believe they're doing a good thing. They're serving women in crisis pregnancies and so on. So I've learned a lot from them about how to deal with people who are pro-abortion in a charitable way. Because ultimately, it's kindness that persuades people.
I'll sort of accept the mild correction that you gave, but when I hear Carl Keating on your show, when I hear so many, the founder of Ignatius Press.
Yeah, Father Fessio, Scott Hahn. Would be
Scott Hahn, yeah. Yep. Oh, it's just awesome to be able to listen to your show, as I do quite frequently. Well, you've been a guest on Catholic Vitamins. You were kind enough to come and talk about your book, and I'd like to honor that writing and see what that's about, and then we'll move into today's show.
Sure. The book is called Sex au Naturel, What It Is and Why It's Good for Your Marriage. It's my love letter to Humana Vitae. I was brought back to the practice of my faith, in addition to Catholic Answers, by the teaching of the Catholic Church that love and life belong together, and that God's plan for marriage includes openness to new life. So I wrote this book from a former skeptic's perspective to help Catholics who are either confused about it or disagree with it or who are on the fence. That's my prime target, which is only about 98% of Catholics. So. I debunk the overpopulation bomb myth. I talk about the difference between natural family planning and contraception. I talk about a very delicate element to this story is how to speak to people who've been sterilized, whether tubal ligation or vasectomy. It's a very sensitive topic, and it's one the church needs to address because it's the most common form of birth control now. I also give the scriptural evidence for the teaching. There are many anti-Catholic Protestants who are dead set against birth control for Bible-only reasons, and I think the book would appeal to Protestants who think that the written word of God is the sole rule of faith. And I tell my story. Chapter 2 is called Escape from Dissent. And I kind of chart through my thinking process and how I came to change my mind and embrace something that not only is not going away, it's true and it's good and it's beautiful and it's doable.
All right, so the book is called Sex au Naturel, and you made us all laugh, but then you made us very curious when we said today, when we heard today that there are pictures in the book.
Yes, there are two pictures in the book. The first picture, it's a kind of scandalous, the first picture is the Gustav Klimt print called The Kiss. It's actually a painting. That's picture number one. And the second picture is the author's photo on the back.
Ah, awesome, so. Awesome. All right, and the book is available through?
You can get it through my blog, patrickcoffin.net. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Catholic.com or Emmaus Road. I think it's EmmausRoad.org. Or your local Catholic bookstore. So
there
I'm
going to
support
Great.
Local people too.
Okay, so today we are gathered. There's some 1,800 men who are in a studio, a stadium setting not more than a couple hundred yards from where we are. And you've just finished your kickoff talk to the men. It was a great talk. What was the theme of what you were doing today?
The theme was Christianity is not for wimps, but if you are a wimp, he's still calling you to be the man he wants you to be. And also that the secret to being a cultural warrior and being a good Catholic and a good father and a good husband is to be a good son. And I think divine filiation, or knowing that God the Father loves you as his son, is the key that opens up every other door to the Christian life for men. And men, you know, men are beat up. We're confused. We're given mixed messages by the culture. Sitcom jokes are usually anti-father, anti-male.
Absolutely.
And so we need to encourage each other. And this is why it's such a great honor for me to be among men who are engaged, who are on fire, who really want to take that next step. Whether or not they're already saints or whether they haven't darkened the doors to a church for 30 years, it doesn't matter. The call is for now.
You can see this is the second page of many notes that I took. One of the things you mentioned, just to capture a little bit of your talk, was the movie Gran Torino.
That's right.
Tell us what you were saying about it.
Well, when I saw the movie, I was puzzled why the Academy ignored it at the awards, because I found it to be very commercial, very insightful. And then as I saw it a second time, I saw the messages that were being communicated in a very subtle way about masculine modeling and how the movie is a study in the kind of man that you can grow up to be, whether an overly feminized man or an overly violent man or a hyper masculine, almost a parody of masculine man, or the Christian model. And Walt Kowalski character, portrayed so well by Clint Eastwood, is that kind of Christian character. He's kind of a type of Christ in the movie, although he's also a sinner. He grows in his own way. But I thought the movie was a rich and unexpected bookend to the Dirty Harry franchise, in which we identify Clint Eastwood with shoot him up at the end, and so I think it's a great film.
Yes.
So I recommend it with the caveat that you know, the potty language is there. It's a rated R movie, so
sure. Patrick, dear Patrick, thank you for being such a good friend to Catholic Vitamins. You have a good heart, and I know you were going to be pulled in many different directions that day. You had book signings to do. You had people who wanted to talk to you, but you were gracious enough to give us some time on Catholic Vitamins. You listened, Dee.
I did. I was enjoying it so much. I was almost mad at those people who came in the room and disrupted your interview. He's such a good speaker and funny.
He is, yeah.
I'm a little envious that I couldn't get to meet him in person.
He's a very nice-looking gentleman.
Really?
He really is, yes.
Although I'm even more envious.
All right, well, there's the real Tom and Dee. Well, thank you, Patrick Coffin, for coming on Catholic Vitamins. And thank you earlier to Teresa, we already said that, Teresa Doyle Nelson. And Fergal has already sent in his contribution for Catholic Vitamin J, but we are not quite ready for the show, so Fergal will have your contribution up soon. And Mariana isn't with us on this little extra show that we're doing.
I have one more tiny bit of feedback
okay.
here, which I'll throw in before you do your Franciscan portion. This was coming in after Candy's interview, Vitamin I, last time.
Eminence,
and,
yes.
Yeah, and this person said, very inspirational. I've read Candy's book, Meet Me in the Mountains, and would highly recommend it. Great Lenten read,
well, there
Carol
go.
Fornoff,
who
we also know is somebody we know is also a friend of Candy's up in Pine.
A little plug for Candy from a friend. Well, speaking of Eminence, Dee, our last segment of this show is a segment from a Franciscan speaker conference. Once again, to go back for those who don't listen to us regularly, Franciscan University was kind enough to give Catholic Vitamins permission to use segments of various summer speaker conferences. And we have a wonderful priest whom I just admire so much. His name is Father Dave Pivanka. And he speaks to priests and deacons in this portion of the talk that you're going to hear. And a part of it really touches on the nearness of God in our lives, wherever we are in our journey. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back for our closing.
So the next words out of the mouth of God, the first three are, you are free, and the next three are, where are you? I loved what Francis said to me today, when familiarity breeds, you know, we get to be familiar with something, and we just... I mean, what tragic words. Where are you? I mean, we had this image of Adam and Eve walking hand in hand with the Lord in the garden. Able to be that closeness and that intimacy, that vulnerability. And the next thing we hear God say is, where are you? The rest of the scriptures is a story about a God who wants his people to be free. And he'll do whatever he needs to do to bring that about. But because of that fall, that the people no longer, they, Adam and Eve, we, no longer really believe that we were created in the image and likeness of him. That's gotten warped. And again, Calvin, it's pathetic that I look to Calvin for theology, but I do. But actually, Bill Watterson has a degree in theology, and it's actually really quite rich. But there's the image of Calvin, and he's standing in his underwear, his tighty-whities, and he's standing in front of a mirror, and he's got his arms flexed like this, and you know Calvin, he just is a freak. And he says, made in God's image and likeness, yes siree. And Hobbes looks at him and he says, God's got a goofy sense of humor. Yeah. But I believe that to the degree that we can understand that more profoundly, and this is our job. Of course we know we're created in the likeness of God. We talk about this all the time. But I suggest that we need to come to understand that more profoundly in our own lives. That I am created in the image, and I, in this flesh, in this body, image the likeness of God. Gregory the Great says, if we were able to see one another as God sees us, we would be tempted to bow down and worship. Oh, Christian, recognize your dignity. Your God has become that which you are. But we don't recognize it. We don't see it because all this stuff that goes through our mind, and we know the things that we've done and the things that we've said we wouldn't do and end up doing and the things that have been done by us and to us, and we have a hard time believing that. And I believe the people of God have an incredibly hard time. If we have a hard time, and this is our job, the people of God even more so. And if we can come to understand them. The bondage that I think the greatest number of people deal with right now is they simply don't believe or understand what it means that they were created in God's image and likeness. And when they come to understand that, when we come to understand that, there is freedom. That I image God. I was sharing with a student here at the university this, and she had a really very, very difficult upbringing. Her mother and her sister were both killed in separate car accidents within a year of each other. And without her mom being around, just her life really spiraled. And she made some choices that were really poor choices. And She got involved in things that she said she would never get involved in drinking and in pure relationships and in all kinds of stuff. And she began to meet with me, and we were just talking, and I was talking about her goodness and her beauty, and that she was the Imago Dei, that God loved her and cared for her no matter what. And she just wasn't buying it. You know, she goes, "Father, you don't know what I've done, and you don't know what I've been through." And eventually, slowly, I began to hear her story, and a tragic story. One of the days we were talking, and she was all nervous, and she was kind of fidgety, and there was a penny on my floor, and she was just kind of, she wouldn't look at me in the eye all the time, and she would just talk, and slowly beginning to ask questions about God, really, would he, is it possible that he could actually love her and forgive her? And I just continued to share with her about this God who wants her to be free, God who has created her to be free. And she writes me a letter a couple of weeks after that experience. And she says, "Father Dave, I was thinking about the penny that I was playing with the whole time we were talking. Pennies go through a lot of stuff too. They get passed from person to person. They get dropped in the mud and they get stepped on. But no matter how dirty and beaten up they get, their worth stays the same. You know, some pennies have an easy life because they are shiny. But when you get the black ones, and then you know that they've been through a lot, it's just like people. Some of us are shiny, and some of us are dirty and beat up. But we are all of equal worth, and we are all loved. I feel like I'm one of those dirty pennies in the gutter. But you picked me up, you brushed me off, and you showed me that I had worth. You told me about a God who loves me and doesn't want me to hurt or hate or to be angry. For the first time, I'm starting to think that maybe that could be true." That's freedom. You know, when you try to explain, well, what is it to be free? What does it look like? That's what it means. Is that an individual coming to understand that we have a God who really loves us no matter what? And brothers, the church needs to hear that. We need to hear that. You know, we need to be able to experience that. When's the last time that you felt a close intimacy with the Lord? A closeness, an individual, him looking at you, you experiencing his love for you.
I hear your voice calling my name. Shrouded in darkness, I find I am lame. My tired legs can't bear the weight. I fall to the ground, crying out your name. And so the God who made us man took on our flesh, was born in Bethlehem. Because I could not come to thee, you came to me, you came to me.
Well, dear friends, this was sort of a continuation of the theme of imminence and closeness with the Lord God. Father Dave Pivanka is someone who regularly comes to Franciscan University to speak to the priests, deacons, and seminarians. And you can tell that he is a touching motivator and speaker. He's an author of a lot of books, and one of them is 500 Miles Walk with Jesus. I think that's the title of it. And that's the...
The Camino.
Yeah, the Camino Walk. He did that to celebrate, I think it was his 10th anniversary of his priesthood. And he wrote about the experience and compared it to our journey through life. So, and he's also done a book on spiritual freedom. And that book is the basis of the talk that we were listening to a segment of just a few minutes ago. I really love Father Dave Pivanka and encourage you to look for his books on Amazon and elsewhere.
We're going to do a bite of Scrabble.
Again.
Again, because everybody will have an extra week to think about this since we didn't do vitamin J today. So the next vitamin is J, starts with J, ends in E.
Yes.
Seven letters.
Okay. We already have had some guesses come in. We can't hint whether they're right or wrong, but we invite you to call us at 206-350-3789. or send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And I just want to say a word. I was late posting this, but I posted our blog page for last week's show just hours ago. That's the show that we had with Candy Bridges. And I put the photographs that you sent over, the digital photographs that you sent over to me, Dee, from here in the podcast palace, where we have the framed artwork that Candy did with the article about Catholic vitamins, and also the calligraphy that she did downstairs in our living room. If you are interested in seeing some of Candy Bridges' work or in ordering her book, Meet Me in the Mountains, you can go to her website, candymariebridges.com, I think it is. Yeah, and or you can go to our blog page for last week's show and take a look at her beautiful work.
Or you can call our feedback line and send us a voice, send us an email if you want to get a free copy of her book, because she's given us 3 autographed copies of her book to give away. And we didn't really say how many weeks we were going to
Let's do that for 3 weeks.
This. Yeah.
We'll make this the first week. So
we've already gotten a couple of requests, so we'll put names in a basket and we'll draw 3 names out at the end of a couple of weeks. And
yeah, if you like personal journey stories of other people, down to earth, believable, at times humorous, and at times quite touching, and with some faithful witness, always turning to the Lord God and her faith, Meet Me in the Mountains by Candy Bridges. So I think that's about it, dear. Have we covered what we had?
You did. I just wanted to remind everybody that we haven't had, I was on iTunes the other day, and we haven't had any new reviews or ratings recently, so I would like to see some.
Okay.
So if you're new to listening to the podcast especially, and if you like what you're listening to, go to iTunes, go to Catholic Vitamins, and write a review or give us a rating, please.
All right. This has been Catholic Vitamin I Extra, and we thank you for being a listener to Catholic Vitamins, and we'll do our closing, and then we'll see if we can find some music. Thanks to Bob Rice for letting us play some of his music earlier in the show. Bob Rice from Franciscan University. Bye.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.
Some time ago, Fergal O'Neill sent in a reflection based on a prayer by John O'Donohue. We'll close with Fergal and Blessing of the Angels.
May the angels in their beauty bless you. May they turn toward you streams of blessing. May the angel of awakening stir your heart to come alive to the eternal within you, to all the invitations that quietly surround you. May the angel of healing turn your wounds into sources of refreshment. May the angel of the imagination enable you to stand on the true thresholds, at ease with your ambivalence and drawn in new direction through the glow of your contradictions. May the angel of compassion open your eyes to the unseen suffering around you. May the angel of wildness disturb the places where your life is domesticated and safe, and take you to the territories of true otherness, where all that is awkward within you can fall into its own rhythm. May the angel of Eros introduce you to the beauty of your senses, to celebrate your inheritance as a temple of the Holy Spirit. May the angel of justice disturb you to take the side of the poor and the wronged. May the angel of encouragement confirm you in worth and self-respect, that you may live with the dignity that presides within your soul. May the angel of death arrive only when your life is complete and you have brought every given gift to the threshold where its infinity can shine. May all the angels be your sheltering and joyful guardians.